Welcome one and welcome all to the Nerdiest Podcast in the Midwest, an episode where we're going to be looking ahead into the year, that is this year, 2023, here on the Midwestern Nerds Podcast. I am your host, Brian Stoffel, joined as always by my co-host, my partner in crime, my sidekick,
K.O. Kyle Olson.
We are the Midwestern Nerds, that's MIDWESTERNERDS. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Midwestern Nerds. We are the Midwestern Nerds Podcast on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you could send that to MidwesternNerds@gmail.com. You can find and stream and listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. We hope that you have enjoyed our little look back to the past. That was 2022 for the past 3 weeks now. we do things a little bit unorthodox here on the Midwestern Nerds, as you know, if you are one of our faithful six listeners. But if you're not, we don't do things in the orthodox manner. A lot of people put out their best of and their favorites lists of 2022 back in the early weeks of December, which makes no sense to us because there's still weeks left of the year. So we decided to wait until after the year was done to gather our thoughts on the year that was, get all that stuff for you. Hope you guys enjoyed our picks and our discussions on those. And just like people like to do their top lists of the year early at the end of December or early in December, a lot of people like to do their most anticipateds also shortly following that. So we are going to follow suit this week. 3 weeks into the year, we are going to give you our most anticipated movies of the year. Granted, there are some things that have come out already. We'll probably briefly mention those. But before we do, there were a few trailers that came out this week. Well, at least earlier in the week that we can touch on because we record on Wednesdays. And since we record on Wednesdays, there might be some things that come out on Thursday and early morning Friday before this episode drops. And if that's the case, we'll cover those next week. But for this week, there were two big things that came out. First of all, there was an Ant-Man Quantumania trailer. And then there was Mandalorian Season 3 trailer. There was a Netflix trailer that dropped about all the movies that's coming out on Netflix this year in 2023. I feel like the people at Netflix, there's got to be somebody that listens to this podcast. They were like, hey, they wrapped up their 2022 talk. They must be doing their most anticipated list this week. Let's throw in a little wrench into that plan and add more movies to their potential lists. Good problems to have. But before we get into those lists, let's jump into those trailers. Let's start with Mando, because I'm sure we'll jump into Ant-Man, and then that'll lead us into our most anticipated movies of the year of this year. So let's jump into Mando first. Kyle, you watched this trailer. I'm sure you were watching the game that this trailer aired on. I don't remember if it was college or if it was the NFL game on Monday.
It must have been NFL if it was this week. I didn't even know it went during the NFL game. I didn't even hear about that one because the Ant-Man one was the college football game last Monday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Which I heard was kind of a shitty game, but it's a good trailer.
Very.
But we're not here to talk about sports ball. We're here to talk about Mandalorian. Kyle, what were your thoughts?
I'm so excited. Just to get back to Mando. I mean, we basically got a season 2.5 during Boba Fett there, which was the best part about that show. And I'm excited to get back into these characters. We saw a lot of exciting things, a lot of callbacks. There's some the trailer has some interesting mirroring that it does to the first. I can't remember, but there's a lot of imagery and a lot of callbacks to things that we're now going to get some more answers to in the Star Wars universe, which is all these TV shows have been doing, which is all us Star Wars fans want. Just give us more answers to random questions that we weren't asking before, but now we want the answers to. I'm so excited. We got one quick scene of, it looked like Grogu's perspective of Order 66 in the Jedi Temple. Very excited about that. I don't know who's on the other side of that door, and I'm very excited to see who ultimately saves him, because I think it's going to lead us into the Ahsoka show. And then I don't know, like, with just seeing the town that was in the first trailer that they kind of saved, what, like, seeing that more cleaned up, I guess, and a prettier town, like, it's more thriving. There's creatures in the first season that were getting roasted on a spitfire, and now they're living actively in the city in trees. Like, that's so cool. There's a monument built on fucking stormtrooper heads. there's just so many cool things. And we're also going to get some answers from the Clone Wars too. I can't remember the character's name, but the chick that we met in season two, now I can't remember her name either, but
you're not talking about Ahsoka, are you?
No, I would know Ahsoka's name. I can't remember. Anyway, we're just going to get a bunch more answers, and that's what people want, because this has been, I mean, Mandalorian has been such a huge success for the Star Wars world, and Jon Favreau's done such a good job getting back to, like, in some of the interviews that he said, like, getting back to what first inspired George Lucas to make those original three movies. He's kind of done his own deep dive into that same stuff that inspired George Lucas, so that it can further inspire him, so that these shows can have more of a real feel to the original Star Wars. So, like, I just love everything he's doing. I think everyone has so far. This has been, other than Andor, one of the more critically acclaimed, or, you know, at least fan receptive things that Star Wars has done in a very long time. So I'm just so excited to see this story continue.
Not a whole lot more to this trailer than what we got from the first one. A lot of scenes and a lot of clips with Mando and Grogu in the Naboo Starfighter, which makes me miss the old ship even more. I loved the Razor Crest. I think that might be one of my favorite ships in Star Wars, and that definitely broke my heart when it blew up in season two, and then they replaced it with the Naboo fighter. I was like, that's cool, but it's not a Razor Crest. So that breaks my heart a little bit, but that scene with the Jedi, I think was the biggest, like, whoa scene of that whole trailer. And everybody thinks that it's like Grogu's perspective of Order 66. I am curious if I feel like it's a flashback, but I'm curious if it's not Order 66, but the fall of Mandalore. Because weren't the Jedi very much involved in that event? And since we're going back to Mandalore, like a war-torn, destroyed Mandalore now, and we're getting all the Mandalorians back together, wouldn't it make sense to see a flashback of the fall of Mandalore, especially for people who only watch this show and don't watch any of the Clone Wars, like myself, who the fall of Mandalore, I think, was very heavily involved in the Clone Wars series. But for people who didn't go back and watch that, they're going to need to be brought up to speed in the show. So you'd think that there'd be flashbacks then. And from my vague knowledge of that, because again, I haven't seen Clone Wars, but I feel like the Jedi involved in that. So it would make sense that, because that's what I thought at first. I was like, oh shit, we're getting a flashback of the fall of Mandalore with all these Jedi. And then I go online and everybody's like, oh, it's Order 66. And I was like, I didn't even fucking think of that.
So interesting.
But I was also the guy that, I'm definitely on the other side of the fence for everybody else, where I was the guy who felt like Grogu shouldn't have come back, but I get that he's the one that's printing all that Star Wars money for Disney with the merchandising. So Disney was probably like, hey, you wrote him, you concluded his story in season two, but yet you got to bring him back, which I feel like is why we brought him back then in Boba Fett. So
see, but I mean, you may be right with that. Maybe they just decided to bring him back after, but I think like towards the end of this trailer, we get to see a shot of him finally being confident enough and using his force, like in an actual battle scenario. Like, I think they do have more story with this. I think this has been the plan. I don't think they would have just dropped him, and because I'm not sure. I think they would have known early on in the writing process, we can't just get rid of Grogu in season two and then continue the story. I don't think. Like, that's just personally me. The whole story has been Din Djarin and Grogu. It would feel weird if we had a season, you know, taking financials and toys and everything out of it. I think it would feel weird to have a season of just Din Djarin and going back to just all Mandalorian stuff. You almost have to just conclude, or you have to include all this. Like you mentioned, like there's potentially tie-ins with the Jedi and the Mandalorian anyway. Like it feels right to have this included in there.
Any other thoughts on this trailer before we jump to the next one? But like I said, it was a short trailer, not a whole lot new, but it did its job. It reminded us that it's coming March 1st, and it gets me that much more excited. I think that I'm going to do like a rewatch of 1 and 2 and then the important bits of Boba Fett. So it reminded me to get on that now because March 1st is going to be here before we know it. But before that comes, there's something else big that's coming out. That also had a trailer drop, like you said, last week. I keep forgetting because we did part two of a conversation that we had 2 weeks ago last week. So we didn't record last week when that trailer came out. So we're going to talk about it this week. The Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania trailer. I'm going to go back to you again. General thoughts on this trailer.
Kang looks so fucking cool. I'm so excited. Oh my God. Man, Kang's awesome. The more I hear about Kang and especially all of his comic book shit, like I can understand the hype now when he hit Loki season one and the ever expanding fan theories that people have had about Kang and the story possibilities that Marvel can do with him. He looks so cool. Just the contrast of character that Jonathan Majors has already done between Loki season one and now this Kang, just in the trailers that we've seen, is remarkable. And I can't wait because this one just feels so much darker and sinister. It's like, what does Kang have that Scott Lang agrees to help him? Like, there's just so many different things. I can't wait to see this movie. We'll talk about it a little later. But the other big thing, which is I didn't think we were going to get this until the movie came, but we got two pretty good glimpses at MODOK, which is now seemingly all but confirmed that it's Darren Cross coming back from the first Ant-Man. And I love both of the versions that we saw. Like, we got to see the big head just MODOK just floating around, and it looked goofy, but it's MODOK. Like, I'm glad that it works so well to try to fit this goofy ass character into the real life Marvel universe. But then we also got to see like a battle ready MODOK, which had like a cool mask and like big arms with lasers and shit. Like, I'm very excited to see that character. My like one hope/prediction for this movie is that MODOK somehow, when everyone else escapes the quantum realm, I'm really hoping MODOK also somehow does, not to be some sort of big bad or anything, but just to be looming back. Maybe they can bring back AIM from Iron Man 3, and he can I know AIM has some ties with MODOK in the comics, but maybe they bring that back. Maybe he starts his own group, but like, I feel like he could be a good background villain, but with Kang looming in the background, I think he could be a good just universe building villain with a bunch of faceless people for the heroes to beat up. I'm very excited for MODOK, but I mean, it had such a different feel than the first trailer. It was almost darker. Like, I think they're like slowly bracing us for the tone of this movie. I think this movie is gonna be dark. It feels like this phase, what are we in, phase six now?
Phase five,
right? Is this phase five? I keep getting confused. This is phase five. Phase five feels like it's gonna be dark. like it feels like we have to get dark to build up to something. I don't know, but it feels like it's going to be like, it feels like Kang's going to win in this movie. It feels like, what are the other movies? It feels like, I mean, obviously the Guardians, we know some shit's going to go down in that movie. Even the Marvels, I don't know what to expect. Like, it feels like they're going to nerf Captain Marvel somehow. The other two may do something big, but like, it just feels like there's going to be some really non-victorious heroes in this phase. And I think this is going to, I think this is going to break that ice very quickly with like, I still don't think Scott Lang dies, but it doesn't feel good for him right now. It feels like that prediction for a lot of people may come true. I'm very excited for this movie.
I am also very excited for this movie. We'll get into that later in the episode. I liked this trailer. I like the fact that we're getting more of the same that we got in the first trailer. The fact that like they're keeping a lot of this movie hush hush, and a lot of it is still kept secret. I like when they don't give away too much. However, and I'll get to that. However, but before I do. Yes, I loved everything that we saw of Kang in this trailer. I absolutely love that. I love that we get like regular looking MODOK, because when all of like the promotional stuff came out and like the pictures of the pops came out with him with the mask on, I was like, oh, don't take the safe route with MODOK and make him look like some weird looking robot looking thing. Like, can we just get regular MODOK? And the fact that we got like two shots of him without the mask on, and he's still got the big giant head in the face. And I was like, oh yes. The only thing that would have made it that much more perfect, if it would have been Patton Oswalt in his mocap suit from the MODOK animated series. Like, yep. Say what you will about that show, he was the perfect MODOK, and the fact that they actually built him a MODOK suit to sit in and do like the mocap stuff for that show, chef's kiss. Yep. Perfect. Yep. Like, if he would have been MODOK in this movie, this movie would have been a 5-star movie regardless of anything else that happens in the movie because of that. But now to get to that butt that I put off to the side. I'm nervous about the end of this trailer, and not so much as what was happening in the trailer, because I liked what was happening in the trailer. I hope that we're seeing everything from like the beginning of the movie, because how that trailer ends with like Scott and Kang like doing their showdown, and Kang being like, you can't win. And him being like, I don't have to win as long as we both lose. And you see him getting the shit beat out of him. Those scenes looked like the end, like the third act of the movie. And if you're showing us that stuff like in the trailer, I'm going to be a little butthurt. But if it's like the end of act one, and there's still like another hour and a half left of the movie after that, and that's just a little misdirect, I will applaud this trailer. But for now, I'm a little uneasy, because Marvel has shown in the past that they can give away some big stuff in their trailers, like Professor X and Multiverse of Madness, for example.
We should tell him the truth.
Yes. That is something that after seeing the movie, I was like, I wish we wouldn't have had that, because that was one of the biggest reveals of that part and one of the coolest parts of that movie. And you showed us that in the trailer. And I hope that this isn't a repeat of that, of, hey, we're going to show you some big bad stuff like from the final act of the movie, and it's not going to look good. I am going to agree with you as well in the fact that I don't think Scott Lang dies, but I do think everybody but him is going to get out of the quantum realm. And I think he's going to get, my theory is he's going to get trapped until Secret Wars.
Interesting.
And I think when he gets untrapped in Secret Wars, he's gonna bring a Chris Evans with him, who's still traveling through the quantum realm to return all the Infinity Stones, so that we can get Chris Evans' cap back with Mjolnir for Secret Wars, because we all know that's gonna happen. We all know he's going to come back. We all know that Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man is going to come back for that movie because everybody has to fucking come back.
I'm pretty convinced we're going to see Chris Evans' Human Torch in that fucking movie. Like, we're going to see everybody in that movie, yes. I think.
But how fitting would it be if, like, Scott ended up bumping into Chris Evans traveling through the quantum realm to return the Infinity Stones, and they both ended up getting sucked into Secret Wars together?
I love that theory because that's not something I've heard from anyone, so kudos to you. However, do they want to do that again? Because Scott being stuck in the quantum realm was also kind of like the reason that they won the first, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that was a huge plot point, obviously, in the final two of phase three. So, like, I don't know if they would want to go. So my other question is, do you think that Kang is stuck down there or choosing to be down there? Because the way you're phrasing it is like Ant-Man almost takes Kang's spot down there and has to be trapped. Or do you think that they just trap him in a different way?
I do think Kang is stuck down there. And I think that's part of why he needs Scott's help, is to get out. This movie has so many different ways that it could go that I have so many different theories that could happen. Yep. On the one hand, I think that Kang could win and get out and escape. On the other hand, I think that he could die or get defeated in this movie. And then we find out that it's just one variant and that there's the main Kang that's still like that finds out that, oh, my variant died. Like, guess he's not going to succeed. So now I have to take his place, you know? I think the movie could set it up where everybody thinks that Scott's dead, and so then they leave, and maybe they can't take his body with them. Maybe, like, they get separated from his body, or, like, he's in a building that explodes or something, and they leave, and they think he's dead, and really he's still alive, and then he's stuck down there. Everybody thinks he's dead. You know how many
fans would just be pissed about that? Why can't people just stay dead?
Everybody's going to be pissed about it regardless because there's already people that are like, oh, nobody's dead. Like, it's Marvel. Yeah. But fucking read a comic book. How many times have they killed off Spider-Man and brought him back? How many times have they killed off Iron Man and brought him back? How many times have they killed off Captain America and brought him back?
Every character.
It's comic books. So if you're watching a comic book movie, don't get butthurt if they do what the comic books do.
I agree. So just to wrap up my thoughts on this, I think that Kang is hiding down there. I don't think he's stuck. I think the reason he needs something to get out is because he is hiding down there because of the whole main timeline thing. If he goes outside of the quantum realm, outside of or back into space and time, then his reality is going to be snapped away. I don't know where this technically falls in line in the actual timeline, but like potentially the TVA would go. That's why he's been hiding down there, is because if he goes out back into any sort of timeline, he's going to be whisked away by the TVA and his timeline is going to be erased. That's a whole point of the Kang in the one who remains,
depending on what timeline. Cause
no, also, I know,
but Loki, like, ends with him in a timeline where Kang is ruling the TVA.
That's what I feel like there's going to be. It makes sense. Like, this happens, and as Kang is escaping at the end of the movie, that's almost going to line up with the end of Loki too, where the timelines start to break off.
Do you think Loki shows up in this movie to kind of bridge together everything that happened at the end of season one and to kind of tease season two, since that also,
if anything, it'll be a, that's
the only other time that we've seen Kang as well.
If anything it'll be a credit scene. I don't think he'll be in the movie at all. But my other point, just to wrap up again what you were saying, I don't know if Marvel has ever shown any major fight scene from a third act. You know what I mean? I hope not. I don't know if we go back and see, maybe they have. I would hope that they don't show the final showdown between these two. I didn't even think about that. Because, like, you're right, it does have a finality feeling to it. Like, can you imagine if this is, like you said, the final act, the final part of Act One, and they haven't even shown us anything else from the remaining hour and a half of this movie, or the last hour of this movie? Like, that would be such a good play by Marvel if they pulled something like that. If all of the trailer shots that we've seen are only from the first 45 minutes, that would be fucking incredible.
It definitely felt like like end of like the climax of the movie stuff towards the end of that trailer, which is why I'm like nervous. But sure. There's also a lot of people that have theories that there's going to be like multiple Scott Langs that die in this movie. And I so mean, we, like
he literally gets split in this trailer. So
yeah. So if that's one of them that ends up dying while there's still like how many more running around in this movie, then like, again, kudos to Marvel for doing that little ring around with me and a couple other people. But it makes me a little bit nervous. Just again, the context of those scenes. Definitely. My last little point that I want to make before we can get into our 2023 list is you made the comment about people getting angry and butthurt about heroes getting killed off and then being brought back, which, again, they're going to have a rude awakening with the multiverse saga. but to silence those butthurt people about Cap, you bring that Cap back in before he retires. Bring him in for Secret Wars, and then like he's like, all right, now I actually do have to return all of these other Infinity Stones and Mjolnir. Or even if it's just Mjolnir's the last thing I gotta return and the Reality Stone. So I gotta go do that and then retire. But that would be the way to bring him back without, you know, being like, oh, we brought back somebody who's no longer with us. It's like, well, we pulled him out of the quantum realm as he was still traveling.
Agreed.
So, all right. That's our trailer talk for this week. Like I said, if there's more trailers and things that come out Thursday or Friday or the rest of this week, we will touch on that for next week. But now we're going to jump into our most anticipated movies 2023. We're going to hit some other stuff that we're excited for towards the end of the podcast, but we're mostly going to be focusing on movies because holy popcorn, Batman. There are a fuck ton of movies coming out this year. Kyle and I both have lists. We have 26 movies that have been released so far. Each of us have 26 movies.
I'm sure there's one or two that both of you or I have missed. So, yeah.
So, both of us have separate lists of 26 movies that have been announced for this year that we're excited for. We're going to go through those 26, and then we're gonna narrow it down to 10, our top 10 that we're the most excited for out of those 26. I kind of went in release order as I was making this list, so I'll start off and I'll come back to Kyle to chime in with his as we hit those in the list, or if there's any in certain months that I miss that he's excited for, and vice versa. So let me start off. We'll start off with January. There's one movie that already came out on my list that we talked about before we started recording that wasn't on the list. So actually I have 27 movies now because I haven't seen it yet. So I'm still anticipating it because I just haven't had the time to go out and see it yet. Some of you may have already seen this already because it's kind of becoming like a hit. It's trending big time. It's not a movie that Kyle usually would go out and seek. It's a movie that the trailer I was like, this could be really bad or really fun. And it seems to be really fun. So I'm excited to see it. Megan. Everybody is hot on Megan right now. The little indie horror movie that is doing right now. It's out, like I said, just haven't had the chance to see it. And the last movie that is coming out in January that I'm excited for is You People on Netflix with Jonah Hill and Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy playing the straight man, but still being funny as hell in this movie. This focuses on Jonah Hill and Eddie Murphy's daughter. They have this love connection. They want to get married. Jonah Hill's a white Jewish guy. And Eddie Murphy's daughter, African-American girl, two families got to come together to support this couple in their marriage, and shit goes sideways. Both trailers that I've watched for this movie have been uncomfortably funny, And I'm very much anticipating watching this at the end of the month when it comes out. Kyle, yeah, were there any January movies on your list that you wanna bring up?
You People was one of my honorable mentions. I didn't know about this movie until it was on that Netflix trailer thing today. I haven't seen any full trailers of this at all yet. It makes sense that there are some out already. I'm very excited to go watch those now because I'm very excited to see that movie. I think it's going to be very good. And then I also have one that already came out. I haven't seen it yet. I almost went and saw it on Friday. And I guess I'll sneak peek my top 10. It just barely cracked my top 10. It literally is number 10 on my list. So we'll give a little sneak peek. It's a little movie called House Party.
And it's
that
movie came out.
It came out apparently last Thursday, well, Friday.
What?
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that movie.
Yep.
House Party.
It's all about these two dudes. I don't even know what they're doing, but they're at LeBron James's house and they decide to throw a big party while he's out of town. And I absolutely cannot wait to go see it.
They're like the cleaning service. Like,
is that what it is? Okay.
They're at his house to like, it's like work for hire because they don't even know. In the trailer, like, they don't even know whose house they're at. They're like,
yep.
Whose house is this? This place is freaking amazing. And then they see, like, his holographic, like, version of himself yeah. that, like, pep talks him in the mirror. And they're yeah. like, oh, shit, it's LeBron's house. And then they find out that he's going to be gone for the whole weekend. So then they decide, yeah, dude, this trailer looked really good. Like,
this trailer looks so funny, so good. There's a lot of big stars in this movie, a lot of actors that I recognized too. Andrew Santino as the awkward white guy is gonna be fucking hilarious. By the way, Andrew Santino just dropped a new stand-up special on Netflix. Highly recommend. It's not gonna be my best off because I have a couple of those later on, but highly recommend that. That literally hit my top 10 because I realized that I haven't seen it yet and it technically came out this year, so I'm so excited for that movie
already in the month of January. You found a movie that I completely missed and forgot about. So this is going to be
both of our first movies.
like we said, that we each had 26 different lists. So there will be some mix and matches in there, but there's going to be a lot of different stuff too. Let's jump into February. On February 3rd, Knock at the Cabin.
Yes.
M. Night Shyamalan's new movie. It focuses on this how do I word this without sounding crass or like
offensive.
Yes. These two men take their daughter on vacation out in the woods when these five creepy ass people come and knock on their door and they say, hey, one of you has to kill each other in order to prevent the apocalypse of the world. And chaos ensues. Dave Bautista is one of the crazy people. Rupert Grint, aka Ron Weasley, is one of the people. The two trailers that I've seen for this movie have looked intense, and I am super excited for both of these. Next on the list for February, Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania on February 17th. Tickets went on sale this week. Kyle, being the brother that he is, let me know. I had no idea. You were like, dude, scored my Ant-Man tickets. And I was like, what? Those are on sale?
Yeah. I had no idea either. I saw people on Twitter just being like, oh, Ant-Man tickets are available. I said, what the fuck?
I literally dropped everything that I was doing and immediately went to buy my tickets. So February 16th for me at 6:30 that Thursday night. Super excited. And the last movie in February, Cocaine Bear. February 24th. This movie, I was super excited for when I heard about what this movie was and the premise. The fact that it's loosely based off of a true story. The trailer has taken some of that excitement back a little bit. I don't think this is going to be a good movie, but I'm still kind of excited just to see the chaos that ensues and goes down. Any other movies in February for you?
No other movies. No, I have those three on my list.
Jump into March.
I should throw out a disclaimer. I didn't put dates on my movies. So I have no fucking clue when any of these movies come out. I'm learning this as Brian reads. I didn't really look. I just saw 2023 next to these movies because IMDb sucks sometimes. So I don't know when any of these movies are coming out. So maybe there is. We'll see.
Variety had a list of their like most anticipated movies, and next to the titles they had, next to the titles they had the release dates. I was like, ooh, good, helpful, thank you. And any of the Netflix ones that showed up on that trailer this morning also had the dates next to the next to the titles. So I was like, oh, good,
right, they did.
Let's keep it going. So jumping into March, March 10th, Scream 6. I love all the Scream movies that have come out so far. I liked 5. It's kind of middle of the road for me as far as the Scream movies go. I'm curious to see this one take place in New York, though. The trailer that we had so far with Ghostface on the subway, like chasing the people down, I was like, okay, I'm sold. I'm in. I'll see it. That comes out on March 10th. Also on March 10th, 65. This is a movie with Adam Driver. This looks like Alien meets Jurassic Park. Basically, he crashes on some alien planet. Him and this other little girl are the only two survivors, and they come to realize that they aren't on a different planet, but they are back in time in the prehistoric age, and they have to survive dinosaurs. Looks super cool, the trailer that came out for it. That's also on March 10th. March 17th, Shazam! Fury of the Gods. I loved the first Shazam movie. It's one of my favorite DC movies. So I'm very excited to see this movie, especially with Helen Mirren as like one of the main antagonists. March is a stacked month. There are so many movies coming out in March. The next one on my list, March 24th, John Wick, Chapter 4. Love the John Wick movies. Chapter 3 was good, but I felt like was a step down compared to the other two movies that came out before it. However, the trailer that came out for Chapter 4 was so badass that I was like, all right, I am fully back into this franchise. Super excited. John Wick Chapter 4, March 24th. And finally, to end the month, on March 31st, Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Amongst Thieves. If you would have asked me last year, before the trailer came out, if I was excited for a Dungeons and Dragons movie, I would have said nope. And then the trailer came out, and seeing the cast, getting Chris Pine in that movie, the trailer was a lot of fun. So I actually am pretty excited to see this movie, and we'll probably go out and seek it. Did I miss any movies on your list in March, or any that you want to touch on and talk about a little bit more?
So, sorry, side story. I tried to pull up Variety on my other screen here, and it froze everything. And I got very scared. I could still hear you, so our recording's fine. But I got very scared for a second. So now I'm looking at it on my phone. So I think you hit everything for March. I'm just looking through everything. Yes, March, everything that you, well, most of the things that you listed, I put on my list as well. There are some that I didn't put on there because I'm quite frankly not that perturbed by them. But there were two from February that you, I don't think, mentioned that I have on my list. So I wanted to get real quick mention those two. Magic Mike's Last Dance. Did not know that this was a thing. Very excited for it just because, I don't know, man.
Come on.
Those movies are good. I don't care what anyone else says. I'm very intrigued because I didn't know this was happening. So I'm very intrigued.
I am not the target audience for Magic Mike, so I haven't seen either any of those movies. So am I excited for 3? No. Especially fair. Seeing balding Channing Tatum dancing with too old to be coupled up with Selma Hayek. No thanks.
I just like Channing Tatum too much. The other one was 80 for Brady. This movie was, I believe, started to film back in like 2017 or 2018 or something like that. I remember hearing about this
a too couple long years ago because Tom Brady is still playing for the Patriots in that movie.
Well, yes, because the story is about Patriots fans. So that's why it's not like a, yeah. the only reason I'm excited, it's literally last on my list, but the only reason I'm excited for this is because I'm a sports fan and these kind of stories intrigue me a decent amount. But it's four older women that basically make their way to the Super Bowl to watch Tom Brady. I don't know. I'm pretty excited about it. Apparently Tom Brady had not only a part in this, but like apparently he was like a part in the planning and I don't know if directing or anything like that, but I know he had a pretty big part in this movie. So I'm intrigued to see what comes out of his brain outside of football.
Interesting. And nothing for March on your list that you're
nothing from March that I don't believe. I mean, I'm you mentioned John Wick and Shazam, Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah, all on my list already.
All right, let's get into April. I only have one movie for April, but it's a big movie.
It's a big
Super Mario Brothers movie. Oh, I'm so excited for this movie.
So excited.
I'm also excited that that's the only movie in April because there are so many movies in March. Hopefully April will be the catch-up month for me because there are a lot of those movies that I listed for March that I don't want to miss. But at the same time, like, there's only so many weekends where I can drag my girlfriend to the movie theater or sneak off by myself to go see some movies before some problems start arising. So hopefully April then will be the catch-up month. Nothing else for you in April other than Mario?
Not that
all I right, see. Let's move on ahead to May. Two big movies for me. The first one is a big movie for both of us. I'm assuming is in your top five. I'll never tell. I'll give a little bit of grace and say five. If I had to guess, though, like if I actually had to guess, I'd say top three.
We'll have to find out.
That would be Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, the conclusion of James Gunn's trilogy with the Guardians, the last time we might see some of these Guardians, definitely the last time we're going to see Dave Bautista as Drax, because he's been very vocal about that to the point where even if there was a chance for him to come back in Secret Wars just for that movie, I don't think that's going to happen anymore. So if anybody was to die out of the Guardians, I think it's safe to say Dave Bautista. That's the first one. The last one that I have for May, Fast 10. I have a guilty pleasure with the Fast and Furious franchise. I will say, though, 8 I was kind of eh on, and I have not watched 9 yet. And the things that I've heard from 9 don't make me excited for 10 to the point where I might wait to see what the general response is with 10 and then maybe rent it, but I'm still looking forward to it.
Can I tell you, I've never seen a Fast and Furious movie.
I actually think if you gave them like a genuine chance, you would love them. I also think it would be a struggle to get you through the first 3, maybe 4.
Okay.
It's not until The Rock shows up in 5 where it gets like really good.
That's probably where I'd want to start.
I think that's where you'd be like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm in. But I love the first one. The second one's kind of okay. The third one's pretty good too. Little Bow Wow is the main character in it. It takes place in Tokyo. Tokyo Drift.
Banger song coming out of that movie. So
exactly. 4 brings back the regular cast and kind of builds up to what we get in 5. 5 is definitely the best in the franchise. Almost everyone will tell you that. I really love 6 as well. And 7 was a decent movie too. A very good conclusion to Paul Walker and his character. Honestly, if the franchise would have ended there, I would have been absolutely satisfied. If 9, 10, and then the last one end up being garbage for me, the franchise will have ended in my brain and in my headcanon at 7. But that being said, I am anticipating watching Fast 10, so it had to make my list. Those are the only two that I had for May, is Guardians and Fast and Furious. Did I miss any on your list for May?
The only other one, and much like you in Fast 10, I'm probably just going to wait and see what people say about this. I probably won't. I don't know. These have been hit or miss as they've been coming out. But the new Little Mermaid movie, interested because that is one of the ones that I loved as a kid. But like I said, these Disney remakes have been very, like, very good or not so great. So, yeah, that's probably one that I'll wait on until it is out of Disney Plus to see.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to wait to see what people say about it because. Yeah.
But I'm intrigued. I'm excited to see. I'm hoping that it's good. I hope that it is good. But
I hope it is too. But the fact that, like, just this year you messed up Pinocchio with Tom Hanks. I don't have much faith.
Exactly.
All right. Let's jump into June. June, another big one. Another strong one. June and July are going to be absolutely crazy. Mm-hmm. But let's start with June right off the bat. One of the biggest movies of the year, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, June 2nd. The week after that, Transformers, Rise of the Beasts. You're shaking your head. I am going to drink the Kool-Aid at least one more time. I need to see my boy Cheetor up on the big screen in live action. The trailer won me. I will admit, a lot of these Transformers movies are absolutely garbage. I have missed the last three of them that have come out, other than Bumblebee, which Bumblebee was pretty decent. But the other... But that one also was nothing to do with Michael Bay. So all the Bay films, like the last three Bay films with Marky Mark, didn't waste my time. But this one I am excited for. Day before my birthday movie this year, The Flash. We'll see if it actually comes out. But right now it's slated for my birth, the day before my birthday, June 23rd. Week after that, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. I have admitted on the show that I've seen bits and pieces of Raiders, and that's about it. I fully anticipate to go back and watch those movies because one of my favorite shows at Disney World was the Indiana Jones show, which took like the big action clips from the movies and did them like before us in live action. Absolutely loved it. So I feel like these are movies that I would love if I gave them a chance. With this being the last one with Harrison Ford, I will definitely give them the chance now. That's it for me for June. Nothing that you want to add to the ones?
Nope.
All right. July. Another big month.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really start for me until midway through. July 14th, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1. Kyle. My main mission in 2023 is to get you caught up on these movies. These movies are fucking great. Pinnacle of action.
I'm sure I would love them. I'm sure I would. I probably would get into them.
I'm so excited. It's the franchise that I don't go back and revisit very often, but every time I do, like, I love the movies more and more. Like, they're just so good.
I'm excited for July 21st.
Yes. July 21st is going to be a big day. I might have to convince the lady to do a double feature that day because there are two movies that I don't know if I can pick between the two of them.
Mm-mm.
Oppenheimer, the new Christopher Nolan movie that's got every fucking A-list actor that you can possibly chuck a stone at, and a movie that I never in my lifetime thought that I would say that I'm excited for. The Barbie movie.
Yes.
Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling as Barbie and Ken. Oh my gosh. We get Shang-Chi, that actor's in there as well as a Ken. The future doctor, Shudagawa, also know him from Sex Education. He's going to be a Ken in there as well. They both show up in the trailer. I'm excited. I am excited for a Barbie movie.
Same. I'm so excited. Some of my favorite memes are like the best one is like the picture of the group from The Boys, and it's like, 5 tickets to the Barbie movie, please. And it's like, yes, that's what the movie theaters are going to be. It's just going to be, I can't wait.
I'm so excited. And last but not least for July, for me, the Marvels. Did I miss any? In July for you.
Oh.
All right. I have nothing on this list for September or August?
I have one for August.
Okay.
Blue Beetle.
Oh.
Blue Beetle will be August. It's low on my list, but it's like, it might be another one of those. I might still try to see it in the theater, but I might not go opening weekend. I might feel the vibe of it and see what people think. But I'm intrigued by that one. I'm less excited than I have been in the past about that one because of all of the DC ongoings, you know? So
it's an honorable mention at best for me at this point. Yeah. I would love to do like a mid-year like top 10 for the rest of the year for us, because at that point, like, more movies I'm sure will come on our radar and will be announced or we'll have trailers for. And I think that movie, if it's got a good trailer, that could end up being on an anticipated list. So
I think you're right.
For now, it's an honorable mention at best for me. But for right now, though, I don't have anything until the end of October.
I don't have anything till October.
In the end of October, I have Pain Hustlers. This is a movie that I didn't even know existed until today, the day that we recorded, when the Netflix trailer came out. This movie stars Emily Blunt and Chris Evans. And I was like, what the heck is this movie? Had to do a little bit of research on it. Pain Hustlers is a film that's based on the best-selling book, The Hard Sell, Crime and Punishment at an Opioid Startup. This follows the story of this pharmaceutical company that had a very addictive painkiller that they were trying to push out, and shows the reaches of the pharmaceutical industry and how a few greedy men can damage the lives of millions of people in America. The couple seconds that they showed to this movie, all you had to tell me was Chris Evans and Emily Blunt, and I'm like, all right, I'm sold. And the couple clips that they showed, I was like, yep, definitely sold. That is hitting Netflix on October 27th. Anything for you in October that I missed?
October 6th. Marvel's Sony's, Kraven the Hunter, starring Aaron Taylor Johnson. I'm intrigued, but only because it's Aaron Taylor Johnson. If he's anything like he is in most of the other movies that I've seen him in, I think he'll just put on a good performance, so it'll be worth to see that way. And, I mean, Sony can, who knows what Sony can do? I don't have a lot of faith after Morbius. I still haven't seen the movie, but I don't want to. So, intrigued by that movie. If there's not much else going around, I might just end up at that movie. You know what I mean?
Great trailers and a good word of mouth are the only thing that's going to, like, get me interested in that movie. Because I'm not a fan of the Venom movies, and I didn't see Morbius crash and burn. I did not show up for Morbin time, and I don't anticipate showing up for Morbin time. At this point, unless Marvel Studios and Kevin Feige is somehow involved and Tom Holland's Spider-Man is in there, I'm not interested. The only one that I'm kind of curious about right now is the Madam Web movie.
Yes.
Just off of like the few details that have come out about that and what that movie could potentially be, I'm intrigued by that one. But Kraven the Hunter, the things that I've heard about this, the fact that like he's not even a hunter and he's like a pacifist that's trying to prevent hunting, it's like, do you even like no, not interested. It to me, to me, it smells like Morbin time is gonna happen once again in 2023. But it's gonna be Kraven time. Are you craving some Morbin time? I'm not. So I am right now not interested at all. Let's jump into November. I've got two movies on my list. One is probably towards the top of your list because I know how much you love the first one. Dune Part 2. I only watched the first movie the one time in the theater. I definitely need to go back and revisit it. I don't know if there was something going on with the sound in our theater that night, but like a lot of the dialogue I could not pick up. Like I had no idea what was going on throughout most of that movie. It was gorgeous to look at, but I was very confused and I was not following that movie at all. So I definitely need to rewatch it, but it's Denis Villeneuve and it's this amazing cast. that's coming back, and even more amazing cast that's added to the second part. I'm definitely intrigued. I'm definitely going to revisit part one, but part two did make my giant anticipated list before I bumped down to the top 10. So that comes out November 3rd. Next movie on my list is The Killer. This is a another Netflix movie that's coming out November 10th. This movie is a David Fincher movie starring Michael Fassbender. First movie he's done since X-Men Dark Phoenix in 2019. So this is his comeback. This is a movie that I didn't even know was based off of a graphic novel series, a German graphic novel series, created by Alex Nolet under the pen name of Mats and illustrator Luke Jacquemin. The series consists of 12 installments published between 1998 and 2013. The books follow a nameless assassin who, after years of being the best at what he does, begins to crack and suffer a psychological crisis. The film's official synopsis reads as follows. After a fateful near miss, an assassin battles his employers and himself on an international manhunt he insists isn't personal. Assassin movie, Michael Fassbender, David Fincher. Absolutely sign me up. I'm on board. That's it for November for me.
I have two in November.
Okay.
One is more of a joke than anything. It's become a meme in my friend group, but I'm probably going to end up watching the new one. Chicken Run is making a new movie.
What?
Yes. Do you even know Chicken Run?
I will admit I know of it. I have not seen it.
It's not that great of a movie.
I was not the target audience when that movie came out. I was a little bit older than that. So
it was like my generation childhood movie. It has now become like a meme in our older mid 20s here that we're like, let's fucking watch Chicken Run. I don't know why, but we've watched it almost every time we go up north to a cabin. So now all of a sudden the second one is being announced and all of us are excited. Apparently it's November 10th. We're all probably going to be in the theater watching it. So
unless it's dropped on Disney Plus,
which very, very well could be. Then we'll all be huddled around a TV somewhere. The other one is I'm not sure. I'm intrigued. The Hunger Games. This must be like a reboot or like a renewal or like a further on timeline. I don't know. But all I know is Viola Davis is going to be in it. Sign me up. She's usually phenomenal. She's probably going to be in A Place of Power. She's going to be phenomenal. Can't wait for that. So I'm intrigued by that. I very much enjoyed The Hunger Games back when they were, you know, coming out in the theaters and everything. So this will probably be something I give a go.
I'm intrigued for Viola Davis. I did not know that she was in that movie. So I'm intrigued for that reason, and that's about it.
Peter Dinklage and Jason Schwartzman, the other two I see on here.
Interesting.
Very.
I read the first two books, and I think I saw the first two movies. I definitely saw the first movie.
You should finish the movies.
And I definitely watched the first movie. And that first movie, I remember thinking, like, why is everybody so hype about Jennifer Lawrence? Because I think that's the worst acting she's ever done. And that's when, including when she's phoned it in for the X-Men movies. I didn't understand it. I thought her acting was very wooden and emotionless in that movie, and I didn't hear much better about. I think I might have seen the second one, and that's when I checked out.
Fair enough.
Because I remember being like, I'm not impressed with the first one, and I liked the first two books, and I don't know why I never read the third one. Maybe because that was right around the time when I was reading them, when those movies were coming out, and I was like, all right, like I'm out, I'm fully out. Nope, just cashing my chips in, and I'm going to take what money I have left and go home.
Fair enough.
All right. December. Big month for Netflix. There aren't any movies at this point that I know of in the theaters that I'm excited for, but there's two on Netflix. Leave the World Behind comes out on December 8th. Mahershala Ali and Julia Roberts in a what looks like a very similar theme and tone to The Last of Us. You throw those two in a movie like that, absolutely sign me up. I will definitely watch that on board. And December 22nd, Snyder is going to try to start up his next new universe, his quote-unquote Star Wars, Rebel Moon. I'll admit, a couple shots that we saw in that Netflix trailer today, I was like, all right, I'll check that out. Fucking Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy, he's in that. Sign me up. I'll check it out. It looked cool. So I'm interested. I'm on board.
Fair enough.
Any in December for you, my friend?
None in December. I'm now looking at my list and realizing there's a few we haven't mentioned that I don't have dates for. So I can get into those before we get into our list if we want to.
Yes. You get into those first. I do have one more movie that doesn't have a release date. It's said to be releasing in 2023, but I don't know when. So I saved that movie for last.
Which one is that?
It is the Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio movie, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh, I feel like I did see that on 2023 list as well.
It is based off of the nonfiction book Killers of the Flower Moon, The Osagi Murders, and the Birth of the FBI. It's Martin Scorsese's first Western. And Martin Scorsese, Leonardo DiCaprio, a Western about the birth of the FBI and the Osagi Murders. That sounds more than enough to get me on board. I'm definitely interested. Definitely intrigued.
Very intriguing. Okay, so the other ones that we haven't mentioned, I just looked this one up. Apparently, it's coming out in February. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. I'm absolutely going to see that.
I kept it off my list because I think it's going to be really bad.
Oh, absolutely, which is going to make it great.
I hope it's one of those so bad it's good movies, but I'm afraid so. It's going to be just bad.
I'm in the same boat. I've just found I don't have an actual date for this one. And now I'm remembering you mentioning Chris Evans, but I don't think it was this movie. It's called Red One, and it's with Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Chris Evans.
Yes, that one. I thought that was a Netflix movie, but it didn't show up in their trailer, so it must not be. But it's supposed to be a Christmas movie with those two. Which I forgot sense. About what? That as oh, well.
That does make sense. I do remember hearing that Dwayne was doing a Christmas movie. So yes, that makes sense.
I completely forgot about that. It didn't show up on anybody's anticipated list, so I completely missed that one. But yeah.
J.K. Simmons, Nick Kroll. Yeah, I'm very excited.
sign me up. That sounds like a fun time.
Yeah. The other one I just found out is releasing in November. What our buddy Zach might say, the perfect movie, The Meg, is coming out with a sequel in November. The Meg, The Trench. And not going to lie to you, The Meg is not good, but it is very fun to watch. If you go into a mindset of this is terrible, it's very fun to watch. I'm quite intrigued because there's no way this is going to be good. The sequel is probably going to be even worse.
I never saw the first one. As soon as Jason Statham in the trailer said, it's a megalodon in his accent, I was like, nope, I'm out.
Fair. Absolutely fair. And then the last one, I don't even see a release date for this one either, but I'm pretty sure I saw 2023. It's an A24 film. It's wrestling based. It's called The Iron Claw, and it's about the Von Erichs, featuring Zac Efron and some other people I can't remember. Some wrestlers that I know too.
I believe that is 2023.
I believe so too.
Yeah, again, didn't see that on anybody else's list. So
I know the Von Erichs, I know some of the stories, and I'm very excited to see that one. That should be a good story.
I know nothing about wrestling, but yet I'm intrigued. So if that's saying anything. Awesome. All right, let's jump into our top tens. You want to start us off?
I will, because I already released my number 10, House Party. I'm probably going to go see this as soon as possible while it's still in theaters. Like I said, I almost went on Friday, but I canceled a lot of plans because of a pretty bad headache that came out of nowhere. It wasn't because of drinking the night before or anything like that. But I'm excited to see House Party. So that somehow found its way into my number 10.
Give us 10 through 6. We'll sure. Do this kind of quick.
Yeah, that's true, since we already talked about most of these. Number 9 was the Dungeons & Dragons movie. As a player, I'm very intrigued by this. I'm so excited to watch. I both a player and a spectator of the sport, of the game. I'm very excited to see this movie. Number 8 is the Marvels. It's a Marvel movie. It's going to make my list because I'm just, like all these characters more than some people. And I'm it's going to further some MCU stuff, so I'm excited. Number 7 was John Wick Chapter 4. Very excited for that. Number 6 for me, just outside of my top 5, Dune Part 2.
My top 10. Number 10 is the last movie I talked about, Killers of the Flower Moon. I'm very intrigued. I'm very excited to see more than just one image of Leonardo DiCaprio sitting at a table with two other women that I have no idea who they are. Again, I gave all the reasons why I'm excited. It made it into my top 10 at number 10. Number 9, Barbie. I am nice. More excited for this movie than I ever thought that I would be in my entire life.
Awesome.
I will admit that Margot Robbie is my celebrity crush. So, of course, I want to see every movie that she's in. Casting her as Barbie and Ryan Gosling as Ken, that's perfect casting right there. So perfect. You don't have to show me anything and just tell me that, and I'm like, yes, absolutely.
If they would have put tickets on sale the day that they announced this movie just based on the cast, I would have bought tickets.
Oh, absolutely. So, absolutely. Of course, that made my top 10. So earlier when I was like, I don't know which one I'm more excited for, Barbie or Oppenheimer. Spoiler alert for the rest of my list. Oppenheimer didn't make it on there, so I guess I'm more excited for Barbie than Oppenheimer.
Wow. I do. You know what? I actually have Barbie above Oppenheimer in my list as well.
So, Barbie's at number 9. Number 8, I had this one a little bit higher, but the more I thought about it, I was like, eh. So I bumped it back to number 8. Shazam, Fury of the Gods. Mm. I am excited for this movie. Like I said, I love Zachary Levi as Shazam. I loved the first movie. I have been curious about the trailers that have been released so far. There hasn't been anything that's really excited me about it, but based off of what I love about the first one, I hope they can capture lightning twice for the second. So it made my number 8 spot.
Good pun.
Number 7. I didn't even think of that. That was unintentional. But number 7, speaking of lightning, The Flash.
Ooh.
And I'm only excited for this movie for Michael Keaton at this point. Like, you can easily rename this movie Batman Flashpoint, and like, that's all you really need to do to scrub out as much Ezra Miller as you can. But you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. I'm ready to get nuts with Flash, number 7. And number 6 for me, I know it's going to be a hell of a lot higher on your list, but it made number 6 for me. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Can't believe you.
All right. Give us 5 through 2. And then we'll save our top ones.
I'm going to tell you right now, if I do that, it's going to reveal my number 1 pretty easily.
That's fine. I think I already know your number 1.
So. You probably do. Number 5 for me is also Flash. Well, not also, but it's number 5 for me is Flash. My wild hope that will not happen, but my wild hope for this movie is that Ezra Miller does get phased out and Grant Gustin now takes over as the new Flash for the DCU. That's my hope. Probably won't happen, but I want it. I love Grant Gustin. So I'm intrigued by that movie just because it's going to be so interesting to see.
The hype behind that movie and the fact that despite everything, Warner mm-hmm. Brothers is still bound and determined to release it. Because of the fact that anybody who's seen like the test footage and like has seen this movie, like there are praises that are like, it's as good as The Dark Knight. And I'm like, what? Bullshit, but I will believe that it's good, but not that good. But yeah. The fact that it's getting that kind of praise, I'm like, okay, And the fact that Warner Brothers is so like, yes, we need to release this, despite the fact that the star is a horrible human being.
Again,
it's gotta be.
If they can recast Flash within the movie, I think everyone will be happy. Number four, the Super Mario Brothers movie. Very, very, very excited for that. Just because there's still going to be people pissed off at Chris Pratt. And I won't even care. I'm just going to sit there and enjoy it.
His voice wasn't as bad in the second trailer.
No, it's not
like,
that bad.
I was like, okay, I can get over it.
Yeah. Number three. I'm surprised this one was number three, but the other two I'm just way more excited for. Ant-Man and Wasp Quantumania. I'm extremely excited for that movie, but again, the other two I'm just way more excited for. Number two, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Again, extremely excited for that movie, but it could not top number one for me.
I wonder what number one
is. I wonder what it is.
Jumping into my number five. My number five is your number two. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. No. I wasn't completely sold on that first trailer. Am I super excited for this movie? Absolutely. But right now, I've seen more from the other four movies in my top 10 list that have gotten me more excited. So that's why it's at number five. We share number fours. The Super Mario Brothers movie. I am so excited for this movie. The casting, I was very much like, yes and huh, when it was first announced. That first trailer completely sold me, though. Jack Black as Bowser, the second that he was announced as Bowser, I was like, that is the reason I will see that movie. That is perfect casting. He did not disappoint me so far in those trailers. I'm super excited for this movie. The second trailer was absolutely phenomenal. I loved that second trailer. I was like, oh, yes. Peach in her battle outfit. I was like, why haven't we had that in a game yet? Like, give that to me.
I think Anya Taylor-Joy is going to do so good in that spot.
Oh, I'm excited. Number three for me is John Wick Chapter 4. Like I said, three, I've only seen the once. And maybe if I go back and rewatch it, which I will do before 4 comes out, I'll be won over a little bit more. But for me, that one didn't hit the mark that 1 and 2 did. So I was not excited for 4, but when that trailer came out, I was like, all right, I am back on board. That trailer was fucking awesome. Number 3, it bumped up to number 3 with just that trailer. So excited. Number 2 for me, Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. Ooh. I've been so excited for this movie ever since it was announced, and ever since that it was announced that Kang was going to be the main antagonist. I've loved the majority of what we've seen so far. I'm hoping that I will love the rest of it, and that it was just a misdirect at the end of the last trailer. That's the only thing that's made me a little bit nervous about this movie so far, is the fact that, like, we saw what we did, not knowing the context of it, but the feel of it. I've gone on long enough in this episode about it, but it's still sitting at number two for me. Before we reveal our number ones, recap us 10 through two.
10 through two. And
then give us your, I have no idea which one for number one.
Who fucking knows what my number one is? Number 10, House Party. Number 9, Dungeons and Dragons. Number 8, The Marvels. Number 7, John Wick Chapter 4. Number 6, Dune Part 2. Number 5, Flash. Number 4, the Super Mario Brothers movie. Number 3, Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. Number 2, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. And number 1, of course, it's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
What?
I'm going to watch that movie 50 times this year. I will cry every single time because we know that people are going to die. We know that this is going to be the last Guardians movie for this group. I cannot wait. I don't care if this doesn't have implications for the rest of the MCU. It will, because it's introducing Adam. I can't wait. I absolutely cannot wait for this movie. I've been waiting for this movie since 2018. Is that when the 17, 16, whenever the fuck Volume 2 came out? I've been excited for Volume 3. Like, this is easily my number one movie of the year.
So I already know you're taking that Friday off. So the question is, how many tickets are you buying for opening day? And how many times are you going to see it opening day? 3? 5?
I don't think I would go more than 2. But That doesn't guarantee I don't buy one for also Saturday and Sunday. Who knows? We'll see.
All right. My number 10, Killers of the Flower Moon. Number 9, Barbie. Number 8, Shazam, Fury of the Gods. Number 7, The Flash. Number 6, Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 3. Number 5, Spider-Man, Across the Spider-Verse. God, that still kills me that it's at number 5. Great. Number 4, Super Mario Brothers. Number 3, John Wick, Chapter 4. Number 2, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. My number 1, do you have any guesses, Kyle?
I've been trying to go over my list. I'm trying to... Because all of the ones that I see that I would guess, I don't think would be your number one. I really don't. Is it? Wait. No. Wait. Don't tell me.
My number one.
No.
Dun, 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 dun. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
That wasn't even my guess.
I am so excited for this movie. I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you.
Can I tell you what my guess was?
Yes, please.
Cocaine Bear.
Oh, no.
I forgot you shit-talked it earlier.
I already told you I think it's going to be bad, but I'm still going to see it.
I saw that on my list. I saw that on my list, and I said, oh, fuck. There's no way.
Mission Impossible. Known. Like I said, my mission in 2023 is to get you caught up because you're going to be on that hype train with me. I know it. I can get you there. Number one, a little dated, but it's still good. Number two is the weakest of the franchise. But number three is my favorite. Philip Seymour Hoffman is the villain.
Yeah.
Can't get any better than that.
Yeah.
It's the birth of the Tom Cruise run. And then it just gets better from there. Oh. So excited. Is it a long and ridiculous title? Absolutely. But am I still pumped for that movie? Hell yes. Haley Atwell! We get Peggy Carter in this movie. Come on. Give it to me. All right. Those are our top 10 anticipated movies, as well as our other 16, 17 anticipated movies of 2023. Before we jump to our best stuff and wrap up this already long episode, Kyle, I know you said you had a list of other things that you were anticipating. 2023. I see you panicking and freaking out, so let me start off. The first thing that I'm going to bring up deals with the Across the Spider-Verse movie. Marvel is releasing Volume 1 of the Spider-Man 2029 omnibus that has the entire first series of Spidey 2099. I've only read like a few issues here and there, but the issues that I've read is what started my love for Miguel O'Hara for Spidey 2099. I'm so excited to get this volume. They've already announced Volume 2 also coming out this year that completes the rest of the Spidey 2099 that's been printed in comics so far. I'm excited for that. Just going through other random things. It is the 30th anniversary of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. They announced this week that Netflix is doing a special. The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Once and Always is bringing back the majority of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers cast in a current story. So they're all coming back. They have to save the world once again. I'm excited for it. They released a special look at it this week that fully won me over. I'm on board. I'm sold. Give it to me. I'm going to jump it over to you. List some of the things that you're excited for. I have a few more, but I want to do a little bit of back and forth here.
Yeah. I just also remembered a movie that's coming out in August that I left off my list intentionally because I thought for sure 100% that it was going to be somewhere on your list. But there is an animated TMNT movie coming out this year.
I cannot believe
that you of all people left it off your list.
Oh my, I'm disappointed in myself. It's produced by Seth Rogen, who's given us things like Preacher, who's given us things like The Boys. Mm-hmm. Who, oh, how could I forget?
How could you?
Especially because I'm in TMNT groups on Facebook that they're all freaking out over, like, the concept art. People are not in love with the look, the style of these turtles. I need to see them in a trailer first before, like, I'll throw in some 2 cents about it. But how could I forget about that movie? Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. Fuck it. What am I booting out? Sorry, Killers. You're now at 11 because Turtles has to hit 10. I will definitely see that movie in theaters. I will hopefully love it. Oh my.
Wow.
What I did when I was making my list was I looked at other people's most anticipated, like Variety and like Entertainment, like Weekly and shit like that. No, of course none of them are going to have that in there. The fact that, like,
straight lists of movies coming out.
And all that's been released about that movie so far is leaked promo images and leaked toy lines. One of them being from Todd McFarlane, so that has me a little intrigued. But yeah, how could I forget about Turtles? Oh my god, I'm
crazy.
Yeah, disappointed in myself.
Other than that, honestly, my list is not very long for new things. It's mostly Marvel. it's Mandalorian, Ahsoka, which I believe is coming out this year, and then it's the other Marvel projects. Like, fucking, we get What If season 2 pretty early on in the year. Secret Invasion is scheduled for the spring. Loki season 2 is this summer. Echo is this summer.
Echo is not this summer anymore.
Oh, it's been delayed.
Okay. Yeah, it's been delayed. There's been some production issues.
Makes sense. So. Ironheart should be this fall. X-Men 97 coming out later this year. Agatha Coven of Chaos is coming winter/maybe early next year. We don't know yet, but yeah. And then there's some crazy stuff next year, but obviously we're not talking about that yet.
I also had Mandalorian, Secret Invasion, and Loki on my list. I am so excited for Secret Invasion. Yeah. The things that I've heard about Secret Invasion so far, like, one of the podcasts that I listened to, one of the guys on that show has read all of the scripts for Secret Invasion, and he's a hardcore comic book fan that has liked most of the Marvel stuff but hasn't loved all of it, and he absolutely loves everything that he's read in the scripts. He says that it very much has a Winter Soldier espionage vibe to it, which... with Nick Fury, fucking sign me up. I am so excited for that show. And then Loki season 2, like I said, that's also on my list as far as those go. I have 2 more things on my list. Spider-Man 2 for the PS5. When I'll finally get a PS5. I'm hoping that they'll do like they did with the first one and release a special PlayStation for the Spider-Man 2 in a bundle, and I'll definitely be buying that if they do. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, regardless, I'm sure they'll have a PlayStation 5 Spider-Man 2 bundle, and I'll definitely buy that. So super excited for that. And last but not least, it's going to be a big year for a little band called Blink 182. Not only are they going to have a new album coming out, but I made it through to the other side in the war against Ticketmaster. And we are seeing Blink 182 in Chicago in May. The lady and I'm excited. So that definitely had to make an anticipated list of 2023. That wraps it up for me. Is there any other stragglers on your list that you're shaking your head? No, that wraps up all of the things that we are anticipated at this point in 2023. I do kind of want to go back in June and do like a 6 month, like, how did we feel about the first half of the year? And then, like, now based off of our knowledge of everything else that's coming out, what are we now anticipated for? So definitely. I would love to do an episode like that in June. I'm sure we will. The other half of this podcast is nodding his head in agreement. So definitely can promise that coming in the future. But for now, we need to wrap up an episode. But before we can do that, we need to jump into the best stuff recommendations of the week. I will start off by saying I had 2 weeks to come up with something and I got nothing. I spent the majority of the 2 weeks building my Christmas present this year, which was the Daily Bugle Lego set. I got that from my girlfriend. That took, like, if I had to add up all the time that I spent building it, and I'm still, like, working on it because I'm buying minifigs to add to it, it's definitely 3 days, like, 3 solid days that I spent on it. It was a massive set. The instruction manual was the size of a novel. It was huge. So most of my free time was spent building the Daily Bugle. So I don't have anything.
Well, that's good. Okay. I technically have 3 things.
and how many times has it been last year that you came and played the card that I played today of I got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to carry the team on the back mm-hmm. with 2 or 3 recommendations. So it's I now hand that over to you to carry this section. Be the Greg Jennings of the best stop this week.
With a broken leg. I did my homework. I did some of my homework. Brian has given me a lot of things to watch / listen to.
With so many things that I forgot the majority of them. Right? I think I remember 2 of them, and they're probably the 2 that you checked off your list.
Maybe. First, I just want to mention that I did finally listen to 4 Years Strong. I listened to it on repeat, actually. I think I got through it twice while I was making my list this morning while I was off of work. So I actually it's not my kind of music, but I quite enjoyed the album. I think that just says something in general that I kept it on.
I will accept it, especially the fact that you said you listened to it twice back to back.
I just kind of didn't even realize where I was, and then it restarted, and I was like, okay, we'll just go through it again. And yeah, it good stuff. I don't know if I'll go back to it if I'm ever in that kind of mood, maybe, but yeah, I quite enjoyed that. The other homework I did as a double feature on Friday. So like I mentioned, I was a little hungover Friday morning, but as I got to Friday night, I felt a lot better and I was feeling starved from not going to the movie earlier in the day. So I watched 2 movies Friday night and two I started. Movies?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Oh, what are the 2? There's so many movies that I've been like, you haven't? I'm disappointed. Double feature. Are they in the same genre? Franchise?
No, but I would. Genre, kind of. One leans heavily into a different genre, but I would classify them both as action, kind of. The second one is absolutely action. The first one's more something else.
I think I know one. I'll say that it starts with an S, and you can either deny or then I have no idea. I was gonna guess Super.
Oh, that, you know what? I was this close to watching that. I was about to rent it, but then I borrowed my buddy's Paramount Plus account to watch The Lost City with Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum.
So
the beginning of this movie, I was very much sitting back like, this is just a fucking love story. I'm just whatever. Hitting the checkpoints. Yep. It's funny. Huh? But God damn it. If Channing Tatum isn't just charismatic as hell. And I really enjoyed this movie by the end. It really won me over. I don't know what it was, but this movie was so much fun to watch.
It came out at the perfect time because it was at the beginning of the year when we were kind of starved for new content. Because if you remember, this year came out in chunks where there were chunks of the year where there was so much coming out that we couldn't keep up. And then there were chunks of the year that there was nothing coming out. We were just like, give us more content. Yep. And that was in one of those early chunks in the beginning of the year where we were like, there's nothing to fucking watch. There's nothing coming out. Not on streaming, not in the theaters. But that one was out. And that's why that movie was as big as it was. And that's why I feel like I enjoyed it as much as I did, because like you said, it's a movie that is not my genre. It's a movie that normally I would not like. It's a movie that normally I'd be like, it was fine. But because of time that it came out and the time that I saw it, I was like, that was a hell of a lot of fun. That movie was way better than it should have been. And now I know what your number two
is. And now you know what the second one is, because you told me to watch them. You told me to watch The Lost City first because of a slight, it's a very small little reference. I literally had to rewind it and made sure I didn't miss something. But yes, I watched Bullet Train finally, and oh my God, is that movie fun? Oh, I can't, I'm going to watch it again. It's just so good. The story itself is awesome. The cast is incredible. Aaron Taylor Johnson, I didn't want to mention earlier and spoil anything, but he's phenomenal in that movie. And the guy plays Lemon too, I know he's in Eternals.
Brian Tyree Henry, I think his name is. Yeah, he's really good too.
He's
in that role.
So good in that movie. Brad Pitt's great. I mean, Kimiko from The Boys is in there. Like this cast is awesome.
I'm glad that you picked up the very quick Easter egg to The Lost Kingdom, because even in the theater I was like, at first I was like, no, I was like, what is, and then I was like, oh what what, because they had to have, those movies had to have been filmed very close to each other, they, if not back to back, because that was, I don't want to spoil it for our audience if they haven't seen it yet, but it was a fun little reference Easter egg.
I literally paused it and rewound it and tried to pause it on the right moment, like to make sure it wasn't the exact thing that it was referencing, but it wasn't. Yeah. But it's still a very cool Easter egg that I enjoyed. I don't know what else to say about this movie. It's just so much fun. It's just it's action packed. It doesn't stop. Again, it has a great story. It subverts expectations a lot of different ways. I very, very, very much enjoyed this. And the interconnectivity, I love those kind of movies where there's so many damn characters, but they all are somehow connected. It's so good. So good.
I would agree. That was the perfect word for that movie. Fun.
Yes.
And it's on Netflix, so you have no reason not to check it out.
Exactly.
And The Lost Kingdom, Paramount Plus, do the 7-day free trial if you need to. Just fucking do it. Watch it. It's great.
Exactly.
We're entering that realm of streaming now where it's going to get to the point where we're just going to jump in and drop streamers like left and right, because that's what you're going to have to do in order to see what you want to see and afford to see what you want to see. So call it a little practice round for that. But until then, we have been your Midwestern Nerds. That's MIDWESTERN. ERDS. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Midwestern Nerds. We are the Midwestern Nerds podcast on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send that to MidwesternNerds@gmail.com. You can find and stream and listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to and find and stream your podcasts. Please remember to rate and review, share and subscribe, be kind, please rewind. All of these things help this podcast to continue to improve and grow and be the Midwestern Nerds podcast that you, the listener, want to listen to. Next week, we have put this off for months at this point, but we will finally, next week, hit this topic. Unless some big breaking news, trailer, movie, special TV show, something, the earth fucking cracks in half, something big has to stop us from doing this next week, we're finally going to take a full look at Phase 4, and we're going to give our deep dives into it. We're going to rank each of those things in Phase 4. I'm excited to talk about it. I've been thinking a lot about MCU lately. I've been thinking a lot about Phase 4. I've been thinking a lot about the Infinity Saga, as we can call it now. And now the multiverse saga and where it's going to lead, all those things I'm excited to touch into a little bit, but fully deep dive into Phase 4 that we're going to do next week. For your Midwestern Nerds, I have been Brian Stoffel,
and I've been KO Kyle Olson,
And whether it's beer, brats, comics, or the fuck ton of movies to look forward to this year,
keep it nerdy.